Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
It seems like the me that is really me that was being held back by the I that I am is coming out all over my face. It's time for Must Have Seen TV, the podcast dedicated to the sitcoms of the 20th century from I Love Lucifer News Radio. I'm your TV guide, Brett White, who is sometimes a drag queen named Barb. Hardly, not today. I am un masculine. That's the Spanish word for masculine? I don't know. And say hello to the goober without a beard, to my goober with a beard, Ethan K. Hello, Ethan. What's
hello,
shaking?
Brett. Hello,
what's
Brett, going on? A.K.A. goober without a beard.
Hey. Wait, no, I'm goober with a beard. Let's
oh,
be honest.
Goober. Okay. Yeah, it's true. You have facial hair. I am clean shaven as of last night. I decided that let's get rid of the beard because I can't grow a beard. I'm terrible at growing beards. I can play the bass, the drums, the keyboards. I can write music. I can, you know, write ads. I cannot grow a goddamn beard.
I can grow a beard.
Yeah.
That's true. Yeah, what's going on? Let's get into begging for comments and begging for interaction. The most fun part of every episode. But I've done work on the YouTube page. I discovered, I added in credits or like the things at the end that say, please click on these other things we've done. So I've done that to all the videos.
Heck
now
of it all.
So, you know, I'm trying to pay attention. I got the playlist up to date. I added thumbnail art to the live Webster episode because before it didn't have thumbnail art. So
it didn't have a lot of hits. I will admit
now,
that the midnight recording of Webster, where we actually did have people tuned in and watching and listening to us, it gets hidden on the YouTube page because it's up in the live folder rather than the regular episode folder.
But it should now be in the playlist of all the Must Have Seen TV episodes. So it should be there.
So if you want to chill at work, if you're just doing some, you know, admin, some office work, you can just play them all.
Listen, if you're going to watch that Webster episode, you might want to put in earplugs because there's a lot of talk of 12-year-olds having sex in that episode.
Oh, I
remember that because that was the like Webster's having a co-ed sleepover and his parents are all of a sudden, his adoptive parents are convinced Webster's going to become sexually active that night. It's wild.
Now, television, Brett, now they're going to have to listen to this episode with headphones.
Oh no. So that's, you know, that's
but yeah,
that's
what you said is true though. We love interaction. I will talk to you. Brett will talk to you. Bart will talk to you.
Yeah, definitely.
Hit us up on YouTube, on our Instagrams. I don't really check the Instagram page for the show that much because I don't have access to it because it's
I should give you access because you're actually on Instagram.
I'm on Instagram
because usually I will get depressed and be like, let me just not interact with anyone for a weekend, and that isn't good if you're trying to foster a community online.
And what do I do online? I post pictures of my cats, I post pictures of weird things I find, animals in the yard, and suddenly my stories on Instagram have now become either really dark memes or extremely anarchist pro-union stuff.
Cool. Well, exactly. Yeah. So as long as we keep our depression schedules like in sync to where they don't overlap, we'll have a constant Instagram monitoring. I don't know.
Well, I have to say the reason that we're recording this a little late is because I went to Walt Disney World in Florida and had a great time, dressed up for the Halloween party. I was vacation Santa. People were taking pictures with me. Believe it or not, Megan had the much, much better costume. She took a bike helmet, painted it black, stuck two large round LED lights on it, got in a black t-shirt and pants, threw two shawls over that and a shawl over the bike helmet, like a big veil, and stuck two black ostrich feathers, and she was Mothman. And believe it or not, the kids loved Vacation Santa, and the adults really, really loved the Mothman.
We all know. We all went through a Mothman phase, right? When Mothman Prophecies came out.
It was a great film. I haven't read the book. I haven't been to the museum. But people at Walt Disney World had read the book, seen the movie, been to the museum, and told us we had such a good time. Oh, until Megan got COVID.
Oh, yeah. You know, hey, that's still out there. Get your new vaccines, which I still have not done.
It is out there. It is getting people right and left.
Margin in charge, chunky yet funky. COVID isn't going nowhere.
Nah.
What are you watching?
We just finished The Haunting of Bly Manor.
Oh my God, Jesus Christ, taking me back. The emotions I had. Holy fuck.
Such a great show.
Oh, God.
It's on Netflix. It is the second of the Mike Flanagan haunting series that he did.
For, and then Midnight Mass, which I loved as much, maybe more. I don't know. Like, God.
I have to watch that by myself because something in the first episode kind of triggered Megan a little bit. She didn't like, so she says, I don't want to watch the rest of the show. But we are watching Midnight Club now.
Okay, yeah.
Which is the other Mike Flanagan series.
I'm going to say Midnight Mass of the three Mike Flanagans I've seen, which is, what was the first one? The
Haunting of Hill House.
Hill House, yeah. I think of the first three, I think Midnight Mass is the most emotionally intense and, like, existentially fucked up. So it makes sense.
So Megan has to go away to San Francisco for work in a couple weeks. And I think I might watch either that or White House Plumbers. But we've been on a Mike Flanagan kick after finishing Haunting of Bly Manor. So we watched Dr. Sleep. We're watching Midnight Club. And we'll Fall of the House of Usher is coming out in, I want to say, 3 weeks, maybe less.
Yeah. I got them screeners. But what about
you? What are you watching? More importantly, what are you enjoying?
Oh God! Well, that's a whole different can of sticks. kill me.
There's so much stuff that you are watching that you're like, oh my God, it's a romantic comedy where the guy's a farmer and the girl raises eagles, and I fucking hate it.
But I watched a good Hallmark movie for work. But it starred Tamara Mowry.
Oh right.
And it was cool. It was like set in Ireland, and she was a concert violinist who had moved to Ireland to teach, be a choir director at a prep school. But the house that she moved in was the house of a famous composer who had died years earlier, and his ghost was still there. And his ghost was like, hey, I didn't actually murder my wife. I was murdered. Can you please solve my murder? And the ghost was played by an older being like 50s, Irish scamp. And it was really fun. It was really, and it was actually like, it's like shot well. That's the thing about Hallmark movies is it's weird. They've gotten fun to watch because they're actually ambitious comparatively. Like,
they're starting and to so sound like it a is ghost?
Like, yeah. Oh, there's also a movie coming out called, Three Bed, Two Bath, One Ghost.
Oh.
which I'm very excited to watch.
That's gonna be fun.
So, like, you know, 5 years ago, it was fun watching Hallmark movies because they were awful and therefore amazing. And now they're actually ambitious. And so therefore, like, I don't know, like, the enjoyment is very confusing at times. But do I enjoy anything anymore? Who knows?
Books.
Mostly because I've been trying to, haven't read new Marvel comics in what I learned was a year. So I have read probably over 100 comics in the past week from the past year. Scarlet Witch series is really fun.
That's been good. It introduced Darcy.
Yes, love a Darcy. God, what else have I? I just read a lot of Dark Web. There were just so many Dark Web tie-ins,
Dark Web comics.
And I keep coming across them, and I'm like, okay, well, we're going back into this crossover again. It's fine. People don't know what I'm talking about.
So we should probably talk about things people do know about, which is the Andy Griffith,
Show. Because this week we'll be traveling to December 19th, 1966. Lord, I wish I could travel to December 19th, 1966. Murderers Row ruled the box office. Winchester Cathedral, not by Clinic, but by the new vaudeville band, topped the charts. And CBS aired the Andy Griffith Show, so Goober Makes History. Ethan, you must have seen Goober Makes History before today.
No, but I want to I haven't seen this one. We actually haven't seen a Andy Griffith Show in color yet.
No.
But I do want to kind of like throw out like a new idea when we're talking about history, like Goober making history. Oh. I would like to point out something that happened on that date in history. Ooh. And I want to keep doing that through the rest of these, the future episodes.
You tell me about it while I drink a Pepsi Zero Sugar. I just realized it's very good Garth over here.
I have to look up all these background things about episodes. I'm like, what happened December 19th, 1966? That was the day that the UN endorsed the Outer Space Treaty, saying that no one owns outer space.
Oh, work.
Yeah.
So there were probably a couple of people watching this episode of Andy Griffith with that fresh on their mind.
There are probably people who voted on this at the UN, went back to their hotel room or their embassy.
This episode,
like, my God, I'd love to watch some of that Andy Griffith show that the Americans have.
The Americans have the Andy Griffith, bleh, because they're all vampires. Oh God,
vampires at the same day ratified the Outer Space Treaty.
Well, you know, because they shot the Bewitched pilot on the day that JFK was assassinated.
Ooh.
So there's like, you know, yeah, this is important thing. You know, what mindset were people in when this aired? We've talked about Andy Griffith before.
Yeah.
I think it was the loaded goat, or what was it called? Explosive goat?
It was the loaded goat. It was the goat that had eaten the dynamite, and they were afraid it was going to explode. Which is it was a good episode.
I know. I'm going to say different vibes. I honestly feel like the loss of Don Knotts there's just an energy that Don Knotts has that he brings that when he's gone you notice it. I do think they you know compensated a little bit.
I think that, because I was thinking about this too, is that this was a show that probably went, I want to say, 2 to 3 seasons past where it should have ended,
although this was its most watched season.
And
Because we're doing the most watched sitcom of the 60s, which is the Andy Griffith Show. And it's like 7th and 8th seasons were the most watched, which is wild.
And that makes sense because it really, it got the trajectory really from immediately from the beginning. It was very popular. And so first you lose Gomer Pyle. Gomer Pyle is a fan favorite.
Baby.
He gets the spinoff. After 5 years,
One of the first homosexuals to have their own show, although you know, Gomer wasn't gay. Actually, I don't know. I haven't really seen many Gomer episodes. Maybe he was queer coded. But I mean, Jim Neighbors, a homosexual man, got his own show.
Yeah.
So anyway,
After the first season, they lose Gomer Pyle. He goes into the military. After the fifth season, Don Knotts says, I don't want to re-up my contract. He thinks he was told, you're going to sign a five-year contract. We think the show's going to go 5 years. He says, good. He is the absolute star. He steals the spotlight from Andy for five seasons. He doesn't want to come back for the six. So he leaves. We suddenly elevate Goober up to a much more visible character. This is especially where it's happening. Goober is the focus of this episode. He's the focus of a lot of these episodes later on. And we also get more of Floyd the Barber.
Oh, right.
And I wanted to do this episode because I hadn't seen a Floyd the Barber episode before. And the story about this was that Howard McNear, who played Floyd, was not the first Floyd.
Oh.
In the first episode, there's a different man playing Floyd, and then he disappears. Howard McNear does the first season up until 1963, then where he has a stroke.
Mm-hmm.
He recovers for about a year. Andy says, I want to put him back to work. I want him, you know, earning money. Let's accommodate him. And what I think is one of the most heartwarming things you can do for someone who's a working actor. He was in Anatomy of a Murder. He was in The Fortune Cookie. He was in The Errand Boy with Jerry Lewis. Did movies, he did TV, and suddenly he couldn't work. So Andy says, let's get you back on the set and we're going to shoot as many scenes as we can of you sitting down. So you'll see here in many episodes, he's in a chair. He can't move his left arm. The left side of his body isn't working very well. So he'll be holding things in his left hand, but not gesturing with it.
Mm-hmm.
And even scenes where he has to stand up, because he's a barber, he's usually standing next to someone, they have a special chair built that looks like he's standing. And I think this is just a very heartwarming story. And then he continues until, so then Floyd,
he's in like 80 episodes.
Yeah. And then he leaves at season 7 and they go on to season 8. So many of the cast, like these big, you know, Don Knotts and Jim Neighbors and Floyd the Barber, they all just leave the show.
I mean, it's kind of like The Office, where it's just like, oh, wait, Steve Carell left.
Yeah.
We're still going.
We're still going.
Well, because, I mean, then Andy Griffith leaves and they're like, well, now it's Mayberry RFD with the super sexy Kim Berry as the lead.
I knew you'd say that.
Yeah. Kim Berry is very attractive. Everyone, two things everyone needs to look up. One, videos of Kim Berry tap dancing in the 1960s. Holy crap. And two, videos of fucking Charo playing the flamenco guitar.
On the guitar.
Yeah, if you only know Charo from modern appearances on Drag Races, where she's essentially just coochie coochie, holy crap, we discovered this last night and it blew our minds.
She's incredible. She'd be doing a lot of back in the day and even now talk show appearances where they'd ask her about, oh, what shows you're doing, and she's, you know, coochie coochie, and then they throw a guitar at her and she's so good.
She might be one of the best guitarists to ever live, and it is Charo. Like, it's just Charo. Wild. So please check that out.
That's all the background we have for the moment.
Yeah, I mean, I never watched The Color. I mean, I've seen Hayden Rourke's episode of Andy Griffith Show, which he did right before Genie started, was a Color episode, so I've seen that one. And I think that, honestly, every other episode of Andy Griffith that I've actually paid attention to, I've talked about on this podcast. The Christmas episode, which I don't think we've actually done on the podcast, but it is phenomenal. This week on Must Have Seen TV, we're talking about The Andy Griffith Show, Goober Makes History. It's the 14th episode of season 7 and was written by John L. Green and Paul David and directed by Lee Phillips. Here's how Paramount Plus describes the episode. Inarticulate Goober grows a beard and suddenly turns into a verbose philosopher. Ethan, how accurate is that description?
1000%. You're totally right. That's what happens. Now, reading this initially, I thought he grows a beard and he starts spouting bullshit. He's just like, oh, you know, the sky is green because People don't understand the color blue, or like just, you know, nonsense. But I do think that he actually gets very articulate, and he seems to know a lot, which betrays his character as a know-nothing country bumpkin, as he's been presented through the whole show. I'm jumping.
The episode, you know, first of all, it starts with a theme song. You got your whistling, you got going to the watering hole. It's little Ronnie Howard. And then the first scene of the episode is at the home with Aunt Bee and little Ronnie Howard, Opie and Andy, because Andy is fully in a suit, buffing his shoes because he's going to like an adult continuing education course.
A night course.
Yeah.
Because he is the sheriff, and this is something that is very upstanding and wholesome in the tiny town of Mayberry, North Carolina, that he wants to further his education in the humanities by taking an American history class.
Yeah. And it's really, I mean, I do appreciate that he is like, well, this is the other thing is like when he goes to the class, everyone's wearing a suit. And I'm like, I enjoy these. This. If you're going outside, you better be presentable.
I will point out that I had a class yesterday for my grad program, and I wore this same shirt.
Yeah. Opie is kind of ribbing his dad a little bit. I mean, like later when Andy leaves, he's like, hey, dad, who signed your report card? Me or Aunt Bee?
And then Andy smacked him in the head so goddamn hard. Like,
shut up, boy.
But he didn't do that.
No, they live in a version of the South that is so like kind and not toxic in any way.
No, a lot of people look at the show as like a throwback to like the 1930s, where none of the real problems that affect the late 1960s really seep into this tiny town.
It's just a nice little oasis.
It's real, yeah.
Goober shows up as well. This is where my like suit. So it's weird because so like Goober is wearing a like plaid suit with wide lapels, which is more to actually like my taste, even though it is presented here as the like Goober is wearing a goofy ass suit. That's old. It's probably from 1949, you know, like. And then Andy's wearing a modern like 60s, probably sack suit with like a thinner collar and just like it has no shape to it, et cetera.
That man. You should know.
It is
better.
Wild. You can tell like it's like width of lapel is what decade you're in, because it just is like an accordion going back and forth of like how wide it is. It just swings.
Well, Goober does have a good line about why he's going. He says, someone can be too stupid, but you can't be too smart.
Well,
that's why he wants
careful what you wish for, motherfuckers.
Because it was virtually a wish. It was rubbing a lamp and saying, I wish I, Goober Pyle, the owner of the gas station, wish to be much smarter and eloquent.
And so he goes. So then we get the night school, which is just like packed with character actors. I mean, who was the teacher?
The teacher was an actor named Stanley. You're going to love this. Sandy Kenyon. Not the WABC.
I was about to be like, not. It's a movie minute with Sandy Kenyon.
Not the WABC entertainment reporter.
If you've ever been in New York and been in the sub in a taxi cab, the back seat, all of a sudden you are Sandy Kenyon's prisoner, and he is going to give you the most confusing minute-long movie review where he will praise the movie for 55 seconds and the last five being like, but you know what? Didn't have a good ending. Boo.
Hi, this is Sandy Kenyon for Taxi Time. I'm going to talk about the Princess Diaries too.
God. So, but he looked familiar. What else did this, Sandy Kenyon Volume 1 do?
I just wrote that he was not the WABC reporter. I did look him up though. He hasn't done any, he didn't do anything that was his role. Like you would say that Don Knotts was, Barney Fife. He did a lot of guest spots on a lot of things, but he worked very continuously.
Yeah, I feel like I've just probably seen him on a bunch of stuff. He kept reminding me of Frank Gorshin, but that's not who he is.
Yeah, he is very, I'm gonna look him up really. Yeah, I'm like looking him up. He was in an episode of The Twilight Zone. I'm looking at his career. It's like three episodes of That Girl, three episodes of The Fugitive.
Oh, I probably, yeah, That Girl sounds right.
Eight episodes of Knots Landing.
Ooh, we like, need to do some 80s primetime soaps, that is for sure.
Oh my god, man.
Yeah, those are wild. Well, and then also the girl who's like, well, no, there are actually a couple women in the class, but like the one who has lines, like has a real Shirley MacLaine vibe. Like she looks a lot like Shirley MacLaine in The Apartment.
That's she does. Her name is Anita Corsett.
Which is a good drag name. Anita Corsett. There you go.
She ended up doing 66 episodes of Andrew Griffith Show. She did Return to Mayberry. So she was a regular. It was the regulars on the show. So Floyd the Barber was also there.
He's also there.
These people that you've seen a whole bunch more times. Howard was the other guy.
Who was like just a, well, I mean, I think nowadays we would probably say that he's autistic or like
possibly.
Yeah, because he was just very like measured and very like particular,
but he also did Mayberry RFD. Howard Sprague was the character. The actor's name was Jack Dodson. He did like almost 40 episodes of Andy Griffith. He did 66 episodes of Mayberry RFD. So it's one of those, you know, let's get all of our main characters. It's like The Simpsons, where The Simpsons has like a group shot. Yeah, you've got the sea captain, and you've got Disco Stew, and you've got Otto, and you've got, you know, Principal Skinner, and they're just the actors that you know.
Yeah, that's a fun thing about the Andy Griffith Show is it's like stable of recurring, never regular characters that just make it feel like a place. I mean, I think that Mayberry is like the quintessential, like you can trace back like your Pawnee, Indiana's, and you know, community, Greendale College, like you can trace all of that back to like Mayberry is kind of like the archetypal. Here's just a town, you know, we have all this colorful characters that keep coming back, and they'll take a night school class together and make Goober feel stupid.
Yes, they do, because Goober has things to say, but he's not very, A, he's not eloquent, and B, he doesn't have a lot of confidence.
Yeah, I do like that they point out that it is more of a confidence issue. That's nice that they aren't just like, well, he's just a plum moron. He's an ignoramus, as the golf tee game would say, a Cracker Barrel.
They don't, but no one's down on him about it. Because they're all chiming in about things about how what led to America's founding.
That's the one thing that, so like Andy tells Opie earlier is just like, well, no, like we're not, it's not so much about like specific dates or anything. It's more about like the causes of what happened in America and what it led to and like bigger ideas. Like,
right. Yeah.
Discussion.
So it's a great class. Honestly, I would love to be in this class. But Goober doesn't really have the confidence to say what he wants to say. And I think the rest of the class is kind of disappointed.
Yeah.
That he's not saying much. Aww. And he feels a little cowed by it. And so
he's immediately like, and then like the next scene is Andy giving him a gun. Which, like, they immediately say, it's weird that you'd schedule this hunting trip right when we're taking our class, because otherwise it's just like, is it like the Jeremy music video about to happen?
I didn't make that connection. I just thought,
no, I didn't either Goober until like right now. It's like, oh yeah, the next scene it's him getting a gun. But now he's come up with an excuse to get out of class, which is like just going on a long bear hunting trip. It's so like I guess it's probably like a week
three,
or something.
Three weeks, he said. Yeah. No, 3 days. 3 weeks. Or it can't be 3 weeks. That's a long days. Time.
Yeah, no, yeah, yeah, I guess days. 3 days. Because I guess days. The night class is every night, I guess.
Which is asking a lot of
what people. Else are they doing?
they Lloyd's got... cutting hair.
Yeah, at night.
Does the town shut down at sundown? Oh, I mean, no. I don't want to know the implications being a sundown town.
I mean, as coming from someone who grew up in the South, I'm really glad that there are options for these people and places to spend time that aren't just the church.
Fair enough.
They have an option. They can go learn about American history. We're good. There's not a monopoly on their spare time, which I love.
It's popular. It's a popular activity.
Yeah, it is. So then when Goober goes away and then Goober comes back, or no, like Andy goes into Floyd the Barber's, right? Where he's like, have you seen Goober? And Floyd's like, well, I saw like someone driving his car with a beard. I don't know who that was.
But then they start talking about the thing that they start talking about class and something for class and the phrase millions for defense, but not 1 cent for tribute. That becomes, I don't know why, but suddenly everyone's talking about it. And because that's the thing that they're learning in class. And that's from right after the Revolutionary War. France starts attacking American ships.
Yeah.
And France is like, hey, you give me a bunch of money and maybe we're not going to rough up your ships no more. And America came back and it's like, we will pay millions of dollars to defend against you, but we will not pay 1 cent for a bribe. So that's what they're talking about. And
Monroe Doctrine is a big deal.
Yeah, Doctrines. That's the other big thing is
Well, so Andy like goes to the gas station to see if Goober's back. And that's where he discovers.
Yeah.
Goober's got a beard.
Only Goober's the best early beard. 90s music. Yeah.
That all involves guns. Okay, guy. Hey, also, if it isn't clear, I'm loopy as hell for just, I don't even know, depression
I'm
reasons.
Trying to keep
we're
up.
Good. We're good. So this is where... I wasn't sure what was actually happening, because what was actually happening is not what I thought was happening. Like, Andy sees Goober with a beard and he's immediately like, oh, like it looks good. Like it looks like you're like, so it makes you look very like intelligent and whatnot. And I thought that Andy was saying that because he knew that Goober was feeling bad about school, but considering that then B and Floyd also say the exact same thing, I'm like, yeah. Oh, I guess everyone actually did sincerely think that he looked smarter with a beard.
He looks like a philosopher.
I thought we were going to see a scene of like Andy being like, hey, just make sure you tell Goober that he looks really smart with a beard.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
But no, that's not what happened.
No, this becomes Dumbo. This becomes a Dumbo feather. This becomes, yeah. If you have the feather, you have the confidence to fly.
I will say... so when we first see Goober with the beard, he's just got like a natural growth. Well, actually might be makeup, I don't know, but it is like actually covering his face. And then when he goes to Floyd and then they do the reveal of like the trim he got, I like, ah, like I recoiled a little bit
because they became this chin strap
with like the mustache. And I was like, okay, guys, come on. And he looked actually he looked handsome with the fuller beard, but you know, whatever.
Rugged.
Very rugged. I will say, fun fact, because Aunt B, when she sees Guru, she's like, oh, you actually remind me of like a beau that I once had. Who she says something like, it was weird, even though his like his eyes were blue and his hair was gray. Is she said gray? His beard came in red, and I want to say, ditto. my grandfather also went gray early, and he never grew a beard because his beard was red. And then my beard was red, in high school and college, and then as soon as I went gray, it just
turned gray. But did your grandfather date Aunt B?
I wouldn't put it past him.
Oh, Brett's grandfather.
I think they lived in North Carolina for a little while. It's possible. I'm gonna go south. I don't know.
There's one thing I love about the Andy Griffith Show is that Andy dates a lot.
Good for him.
He has different girlfriends. It's not just, oh, for the duration of this series, I'm going to be going steady with one girl. It's like, no, he has multiple girlfriends.
Yeah, who last a while, too. Like, there's like relationship arcs, from what I understand. Good for him.
Kind of like Dobie Gillis.
Yeah. And
like Dobie Gillis, you remember that the actor who played Dobie was a teacher and then auditioned. So was Goober. Goober was a teacher. He had a degree in, I think, biochemistry.
Oh my God.
And he was a teacher. He worked at a teaching college, and he auditioned and he got into this role that defined the rest of his life. George Lindsay played Goober and Goober-ish characters until he died, paid the bills. He was
good. You know, you become an icon, just roll with it. Hey,
do what you love.
But this episode gave him a chance to like spread his wings a little bit, because then Goober with his new trim beard goes to class and just shows all of them what's what.
Seriously, he brings the chin music in more ways than one.
Yeah,
he's really good. And he's unfortunately rude about it.
Yeah, he just doesn't stop talking and answering every question. I mean, it even does like a dissolve to like, eventually he's at the chalkboard with like the little pointer and like, you know, talking and stuff. And the teacher's undone his necktie and is just like, ugh.
I have an early day tomorrow. I gotta go. Sandy Kenyon.
Yeah.
But the things that he's saying are not, A, they're not wrong, and B, they are, at worst, they are personal anecdotes that apply to the situation. Like, he's talking about the Monroe Doctrine, about a million's for defense, not a penny for tribute. And he's talking about a friend of his, Shorty, who went fishing with a bunch of tough guys, and they gave him they razzed him a whole bunch, and he got in their faces, and they backed down. And that's a really great understanding of the Monroe Doctrine, I guess.
Yeah. And it's if he had just stayed at that level, we're good. Let other people talk. Just chill, conversate. But then he takes over too much.
So he continues to do this around town. And as it is said, it is hard to interrupt a man with a beard.
No, yeah, exactly. I definitely knew that. That's why I just have a mustache now, because I wanted to have a nice flow of conversation. I mean, yeah, he doesn't confront. It's funny, like he runs into the, oh my God, Helen, is that her name? What's her name?
Yeah, Helen Crump.
When she's leaving the grocery and he's just like, oh, hey, like, oh God, does he say something like, do you ever notice how you see things out of the corner of your eye? She's like, no, yes, I do know that. I know everything about that. I gotta go this way, but.
People start avoiding him because he is full of himself. It's a weird way to put it, but he's got an abundance of confidence now, and he is able to speak at length on any topic, which makes me think he had all this inside him. And all those times where he's being dumb goober at the gas station, deep inside, he knows a lot. He has.
Well, I mean, that's
insight.
What he says at when he gets the trim at Floyd's and Andy comes over and Andy interrupts him. And Floyd's like, no, let him keep talking. You don't want to miss a gym. And that's when he says, it seems like the me that is really me that was being held back by the I that I am is coming out all over my face. I do want to point out. So like for the first like 5 to 7 minutes, I was like, oh, okay, well, this is Andy Griffith's show without Don Knotts. We're getting some gentle interactions. We're not getting hard jokes. It's just going to be sweet. And I was very glad when all this started to happen because I was like, oh, thank God there's actual like writing happening here. There's jokes happening here.
I think that Andy Griffith's show all too often went into let's teach a lesson and have like an actual down home, honest to God dialogue with things where it wasn't just the like bang, 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 joke. Like some other shows would be at the same time in the 60s.
Sometimes you get a donkey that eats a goat that eats dynamite.
Sometimes you get a great, like that's Sweeps Week, baby. That is golden. That was so good.
But yeah, now we have the goober going around town, just making sure everyone, he goes to visit Andy, sees him coming at the sheriff's office and like pretends to sleep, puts a newspaper over his face, feet up on the desk, arms across the chest and just like, okay, just let me pretend to be asleep.
So goober busts in and starts talking up a streak, just blah, 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 realizes that Andy's asleep, thinks he's faking it, drops a book. Doesn't wake up Andy.
No face.
Pretends to leave, closes the door. Andy drops the newspaper.
He bolts up so fast, but hey, Goober ain't left. Goober's at the door. You Goober.
He's so smart. He's so smart now. Now he's crafty. Now he's conniving.
I also realized, so like, he also is still walking around with his smart beard, but he's still wearing the Jughead cap.
Yeah,
the like what whoopee caps.
I don't know if that's the name. Understood it was you would take a hat with a wide brim, like a fedora.
Yeah.
And then you'd flip it inside out, and then you'd fray the edges, and that's what Jughead wears, and that's what Goober wears. Is that it was a style at the time. It was more of a rustic style where you wouldn't. I don't know if you distress it on purpose, but that's the way it was. It was a hat turned inside out, like a felt hat, like a fedora.
I'm gonna say the generation that did that grew up to like rag on kids that wore big pants.
Oh yeah,
and I'm like, you guys took a fedora inside, like that is ridiculous. It's just, what are you doing?
Why is it like, I look at, you know, if you look at a magazine from like the 1930s, the 1920s, and you see what college fashions were like, it was straw boater hats and fur jackets,
or you know, tucking your pants into your socks. It's like weird, you know,
that was a thing. And
good stuff.
Styles change.
Just think, I keep thinking of It's a Wonderful Life, the outfit that he wears after he falls in the pool and he's walking her back home. Anyway.
Go see that movie, folks. It's a great film.
Yeah, it's a good, It's a Wonderful Life. Check it out. So is this when like Andy confronts Floyd and is like, you got to say something. You're his best friend.
You shaved his goddamn face right the fuck now. Are you going to
that
jail?
You did this to him. You're the one that trimmed that beard.
I'm shutting the plumbing down and giving you a bucket and keeping you there for 3 weeks. How you fucking like that?
This is like,
if
Andy was Walter White. Andy Griffith is the one who knocks. Which is never the case. Although this is like the maddest I've seen Andy Griffith. Andy Taylor.
He's really ticked because he's kind of lost his friend. Goober's a friend. They travel together. Goober's allowed in his house, We see it earlier in the episode. They're about to go to class.
Does he not together. Allow other people in his house?
I don't know.
It's like vampires, Floyd, you cannot enter.
Oh, Andy.
Boy. The night haircuts.
I love
that's Floyd. Why I go to night school.
What was I going to say? No, Andy's open with everybody. Andy's involved with everybody. Andy's in everybody's business. Mayberry itself is a small town, but I've seen like all the exterior shots. It's actually pretty big. It's shot on the back lot, at Desilu.
Yeah, it seems nice.
Yeah, I just remember like the courthouse is gigantic. So a gigantic courthouse, this is from the Loaded Goat episode. The courthouse is big, I can't imagine it being in a very super small town. Like, I've been to small towns, like really small towns in like Illinois and Western New York. And
is it like how on Buffy, Sunnydale has like an airport, a dock, it is big enough to necessitate moving and living in the dorm at Sunnydale High, even if you live in Sunnydale, kind of. Yeah. So, but then when Goober finally like walks in, Floyd doesn't.
Nope. Because he is too taken by the beard. It is now a holy symbol.
Yeah. Which a good beard's hard to find. I mean, I am lucky that I can grow a mustache and have like, you know, which is I've now had for 11 years, which is crazy.
Rub it in. Rub it in that you can grow facial hair, because I can't. It's a joke.
I used to have crazy side. Well, you knew me when I had crazy sideburns like mutton chops. And now these are the shortest they've ever been because of drag. It's the only concession
Do you have sideburns now? Because I used to go straight across, and now I definitely have sideburns. But
no, because I used to go in senior year of high school, I did an L shape, like all the way down and then like towards my mouth, that. I did that for a long time, and then college in early New York was just big, like the shape of Alabama, probably. To like bottom of my earlobe is where I used to cut them off. And then I would cut them at the bottom of whatever that thing is called. The like little round ended sticky outy thing. What is that?
Thank you. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in to Floyd the Barber Tribute, where we talk about actual haircuts.
Shaving, yeah. And now they're all the way at the top of my ear. But anyway, Floyd ain't cutting it. And then Andy flies off the handle.
He says a beard won't make you confident.
I mean, he's mad. So this is where, like...
he goes off.
Yeah, he goes off. And what... I was actually surprised. Is it like what the next scene is back at night school and Goober shows up without a beard and he still talks a little, right? Like he still talks a little.
He says a short sentence about the Industrial Revolution that is concise, accurate, on point, appropriate for the topic, and that's it.
If there was going to be a lesson to learn, I thought Andy was going to like lose his shit on Goober, and then like he was eventually going to have to apologize to Goober for being so mean. But the message of this episode is like, if your friend is acting like a jerk, just yell at him full throat and then they'll shape right up.
Goober says something. I like that. Goober said something that does resonate with me. He says, when a friend talks to you, you don't listen with your ears. You listen with your heart. And I think that's...
what about when your friend yells at you?
Then you listen with your ears and your fear glands.
Yeah.
Because you're afraid.
So I was like, oh, wow. Time.
But yeah, so Andy goes off. And then we go to a commercial break. Because I watched it on Paramount Plus.
Oh, and you don't have I pay.
Oh, you pay?
I pay that dollar for the no commercial Paramount Plus.
Oh, well, we get it. I'm going to say we get it through Walmart. our Walmart
sure.
subscription, and we get our Walmart subscription free through American Express. So we get we're somewhere in the weird weeds, but we get a close. There is a stinger. There's a close at the end.
Opie tries to start up a conversation with Pa about the Articles of Confederation.
Well, what were the Articles of Confederation?
And Andy eventually is like, you know, get back to studying. Essentially, he's like, stop.
Stop asking me questions.
Hey, Ron stop Howard. Asking me questions, hey?
Go direct Apollo 13.
Yeah. Hey, it's a real Willow. Nice solo a Star Wars story you got there, huh? Be yeah, funny yeah. if something happened to it.
Yeah. How about you go hang out in Star Wars land?
Yeah.
Harrison Ford's.
Wow.
With your American graffitis.
With your I was gonna say Ford versus Ferrari, but that was James Mangold.
James Mangold did Ford versus.
I think. I don't know. You know what? I don't know.
We just have to say that we respect Ron Howard for everything he's done since his first acting role, and I want to say 1956?
Jeez.
Maybe 1954.
What is also wild is knowing that this is season 7 and Opie still feels like he is 8 years old. How young was he in season 1? Because he is still a child.
All right. So he was 2 years old in 1956 with Frontier Woman, where he played a 2-year-old kid. So 1954, he had been acting since 1959. Like, I'm not going to count the Frontier Woman.
Wait, so he 14 in this episode?
Yeah.
66. He does not look 14. He looks like he is 10 at the most. So,
okay. Yeah. So, and then he goes off and does Happy Days, which is
American
also...
Graffiti and then Happy Days. Yeah. Right. Cause wasn't Happy Days in response to American Graffiti?
Yeah. And Happy Days itself was a spinoff.
Oh, and Love American Style.
Yeah.
and Solo a Star Wars Story is really good. I like that movie. It's fun.
I will say that I have not found a Star Wars movie that I don't like. I like Rise of Skywalker. I like Last Jedi.
I mean, I'm
Jedi.
Not going to watch it again. Well, Last Jedi is actually a perfect fucking movie.
Some people hate it.
For misogynist reasons.
I liked it a lot. I like the prequel trilogy. I like the sequel trilogy. I like all the spinoffs.
There's something fun. Enough. It's a fun world. TV gets shaky, but we're having a fine time.
Yep.
Are you ready for some must-have facts?
Oh, I want to hear some must-have facts about the Andy Griffith Show in color in 1966.
Ooh, yeah, well, 27.4, the rating was 27.4, which translates to roughly about that many million people watched it this season. Ooh. I couldn't find, like, weekly, for some reason, the Nielsens at this time were only relaying things in 2-week chunks in the newspapers, which is like, well, that doesn't help my
purposes
at all. Doesn't help me at all. And also, I was actually found. So the it was number 3 for the season, and basically, like, the same TV shows were hits for, like, multiple seasons. And, like, found a number of articles that were just like, yeah, the hits are Jackie Gleason, Lucy Show, Andy Griffith, Red Skelton, and Bonanza. What do you want? Why are we doing this? Like, which might be why it was only every 2 weeks. They were like, it's the same shows. You know what they are. The CBS Monday night lineup was Gilligan's Island, Run Buddy Run. Don't know what that is. Didn't look it up. Lucy Show, Andy Griffith Show, Family Affair. To Tell the Truth and I've Got a Secret.
That was it, all in one channel in one night?
Yeah, because Gilligan's Island came on at 7:30, 6:30 Central for some reason. I don't know. Oh. When that territory got ceded to local stations for syndication, but Gilligan's Island was up in there.
Oh.
Or, you know, your syndication, Jeopardy, Entertainment Tonight. That's the sweet spot now for that. But back then it was Gilligan's Island. Family Affair, still not a funny show. Still don't know if it was intended to be funny. But I do know that if you are a baby boomer, you Love it.
What show?
Family Affair.
Oh, God.
Our podcast's nemesis.
I just saw a picture of the whole cast on the cover of like TV Guide or something, and it made me mad.
Oh, is it like one of those magazines when you're checking out at Target and it's just like, here is just a bunch of magazines that's just like, it's the 55th anniversary of this show.
No,
or this
no,
person it's, died, so we no, rushed it's this even, up.
No, it's even worse than that. It's like, the more that you and I talk about this kind of stuff, all of the different devices in my house say, oh, he must like sitcoms. So all Facebook loads up for me is, you know, all these probably Russian spam sites that are like, hey, do you remember Family Affair? Here's a cover of Family Affair.
Yeah.
On Guide. Or, you know, it's, and I get so much of that. And I don't mind it. Because I do learn stuff about it.
There is a whole industry for aging boomers.
Yeah.
Because there are a lot of like physical magazines that are just like, you know, interview with Barbara Eden. I mean, I'm interested in this stuff, so like I can't rag on it. But it is wild that there is actually like a whole like aging economy of, you know, still like making stuff, which makes sense because they were a huge generation.
Yeah. And there are people who make their living off shows they did back then.
And can I please make a living off of just writing about those shows? Please, whatever.
You will never make as much money as Butch Patrick.
No.
No.
Not even. Okay.
Now, I did just look up Run Buddy Run.
Oh, yeah.
A goofy guy overhears something from the mob, and the mob wants to kill him. So he runs from town to town, dodging assassins. It's kind of like a comedy fugitive.
Oh, God. And it's okay, cool. How many seasons?
It only lasted 13 episodes.
Cool. Good for it, you know.
Yeah. So
we should do it, though.
This was the lead in to Andy Griffith. Run, Buddy, Run. I don't even know.
It should have probably followed and really got that. Yeah. I mean, it was Gilligan's Island, then Run, Buddy, Run, and then Lucy Show, and then Andy Griffith, and then Family. That's a lot. That's a night. Yeah. What are you watching tonight, though? It is December 19th, 1966. Christmas is like end of the week. It's Christmas.
Yeah,
it is. Tonight on ABC is Felony Squad. Stone has a running gun battle with a pair of bad check passers. Honestly, feels like overkill. I mean, like if people are just passing bad checks, you're like, well, I'm gonna blow you away.
You're
wow,
not Rosa Sanchez. Boom, boom, boom. I'm her husband. Boom, boom, boom.
I feel like there are felons on both sides of this equation. The Felony Squad are felons. It's escalating things.
Maybe that's the name of the show, is that they are just criminals who are also cops.
Yeah.
Much like real life.
Yeah. On CBS, we got Andy Griffith. Goober grows a beard and bores people by talking about himself, which is not accurate.
Not accurate.
Other descriptions and so on, other newspapers actually say by philosophizing, which is more accurate. And then on NBC, we got the Perry Como Christmas special. Perry's traditional Yule show features guests Anna Moffo and the Metropolitan Opera soprano and ventriloquist Senor Wences.
Oh, we are watching Perry Como.
Yeah. I mean, it's Christmas. We're watching, so I'm definitely Perry watching. Como. And I'm probably mad at Andy Griffith for not doing a Christmas episode yet again when they did their season one Christmas episode. Well, maybe because that's a perfect episode. And then why is it Felony Squad doing a Christmas episode?
Because they're shooting at people passing bad checks.
You know who the number one bad check passer is? Santa Claus. How's he get all them toys? Elves don't make them. He takes them from department stores writing bad checks.
We got to go to Run Buddy Run and kill him in another town. Yeah, he overheard
us. You know who
us.
Buddy is? Buddy Santa. Running from town to town. The Felony Squad's got to get him.
You are not Santa Claus. Boom, 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 boom. Boom. My husband, boom, boom, boom.
And then Perry Como wanders into the scene. Just
and Villania.
Yeah. Oh my God.
But yeah, you have Senator Wences. Come on. This is great.
Is that a person?
No, it's a ham puppet.
Wait, really? Wait, yeah. Hold on. The puppet is Senor Wences?
Yeah.
He's also a Metropolitan Opera soprano?
I, I want to say that he's that they probably forgot a comma or added a comma by accident. Like,
oh, with guest Anna Moffa, Metropolitan Opera soprano, and ventriloquist singer.
Yes, he was really famous on the Ed Sullivan Show.
Okay,
is that right? Is that right?
Oh, that okay. I know that.
I want to say that's Senor Wenceslas, and yes, that is correct.
So, yeah. On IMDb, 185 Andy Griffith fans rated this episode a 6.5 out of 10. High or lower? I would say 7.2.
I'd say it's pretty accurate. I'm wondering if the other episodes were like even better.
Well, I've done at least two other episodes, and I did like both of the other ones more. Because the other one that I did with L. Collins was about them, like, it's like Barney and Andy going on a double date with just two like crazy dames, and they were like legitimately great, and I loved them, and I can't remember anything else. So yeah, I do think this episode is worse than those two, but I am so glad that it wasn't just like a sweet tale, that it actually had some teeth and some like jokes to it.
It's not an exploding goat.
No, nothing is.
Exploding Goat may be one of the best episodes we've done on this show. It was a goat that ate dynamite, and everyone was afraid it was going to explode.
And like lead it out of town. Wait, did the goat die at the end of it? Didn't the goat blow up?
The goat blew up, I think.
Oh my god!
My mind is Swiss cheese. I don't recall. Yeah.
Nah, obviously I'm not in my right mind. Must see performance of the episode. Goober's beard.
Floyd.
Oh wow. Okay.
I'm giving it to him. He could not move his left arm. He couldn't stand. He had problems walking. And you know what? He was in like half the scenes.
Yeah.
So he was working hard. James McNair. What's his name? Yeah. Howard McNair.
Yeah, he did good.
Howard McNair.
And I thought, you know, I loved Cooper. I mean, I'll say it. Cooper with the beer can get it. I'm just being honest here. Goober with the fuller beard can get it.
He went from hayseed to haystack. You know what I mean? I don't know.
People see this episode of television?
Yeah, because it's going to make you feel good. It's going to make you feel good that deep inside every one of us, if they're just allowed to be let out, they can shine and be contributing members of a class. But it's a good lesson not to overdo it, because not everybody necessarily wants to hear everything you have to say.
Wow.
Check us out on YouTube. Check us out on Apple Podcasts.
It feels like this is a Spotify. Metaphor for my life, honestly. Did this episode come to me at the right time? just someone believe in me. We're fine. So thanks everybody for hanging out and keeping it sleazy. I need to be professional. Thank you everybody for tuning in. Ethan, where can people find you on the internet if they want to talk about beard lengths?
You can check me out on EthanK55 on Instagram. Or Blue Sky. I post little things there. Just look up Ethan K. You might find me. The search function there is terrible, but I'm on there. How about
I
you?
I too. I am also on Blue Sky, just at my name, at Brett White. And you can follow me on Instagram at Brett White. You can also follow my drag persona, Barb Hardley, on Instagram. And you can also follow Barb on YouTube, where I'm trying to do more stuff. Most recently, Barb got into a little bit of a fight with a pair of very cheap sequin gloves that she bought on Amazon that arrived and were basically like Brillo pads.
Ooh.
They were awful. They were horrible. They looked great. They looked great. I was very beautiful, but taking them off was a nightmare, and putting them on was a nightmare, and wearing them was a nightmare. I threw them away immediately, but they look good in photos.
Oh, you actually threw them out.
Oh, yeah, no, I was like, I can't wear these. I mean, also because they were just shedding. And you can actually see in the video, sequins flying off of my clothes. Yeah, it was wild. It was horrible. They were $20. It's not well spent. And that does it for this episode of Must Have Seen TV. Thank you, Ethan, for talking about The Andy Griffith Show. Please, everybody, follow us on all those places that we mentioned. Talk to us on anywhere. You can email us, musthaveseentv@gmail.com. You can leave comments on all the YouTube videos, which we're getting up, and I'm gonna be snazzing up with. I need to experiment with putting clips up, like 2-minute chunks of episodes that people can watch instead of like the whole hour. You know, you can. I need to do that. So keep an eye out.
I feel a little like ashamed that some of our videos on YouTube don't get a lot of hits, but your postings of George and Leo episodes get thousands.
Well, that's because I am the only source of George and Leo content, because I bought a 4-year consideration VHS tape and digitized it years ago, and then my VCR ate it and I had to throw the VHS away. Luckily, I had digitized it, but I still have the case somewhere. It's a good show.
You can hide stuff in that case, like Lego figures.
Oh yeah, or an Apple TV. Thank you, everybody. Thanks to Acast for hosting the podcast. See you, come tune in next week, watching the most popular show of the 70s, which is most popular sitcom, which is going to be either MASH or All in the Family, I would bet.
No losers among those, though.
No, I mean, I would rather it be Mary or Bob, but you know, neither here nor there. Maybe it'd be Carol. Who knows? Thank you, everybody.
All in.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.